That's what Mr. Perkins was talking about, said Jack. Hard times.
I wish we could help everyone, said Annie.
Me too, said Jack.
But right now our mission is to save a unicorn under a spell, said Annie.
Jack frowned. Our mission sounds like a fairy tale from a make-believe world, he said. Not the real world of the Great Depression.
I know, said Annie. Hey, it's almost our turn. What do we do?
Let's watch the person in front of us, said Jack. Jack and Annie watched an old woman put her nickel in the slot of the turnstile, which led to the train platform. The woman pushed through and joined the crowd of people waiting for the train. Jack and Annie put their nickels into the slot and pushed through, too. The platform was bitterly cold. People looked worried, as if they feared the subway train might never come. Jack felt worried, too, but mainly because their mission wasn't making any sense. They were trying to get to the zoo before the blue moon and before a monster blizzard hit the city. But when they got to the zoo, what then?
This is what I don't understand, Jack said to Annie. The poem says the unicorn is on public display. But if that's true, why haven't we ever read about New York City once having a unicorn in a zoo? That would be major news.
Yeah, but remember the poem says he's hidden well and he's under a spell, said Annie. So maybe the spell makes him look like a regular animal. But when we get to the zoo and say his name, he'll come out of hiding and
reveal his true nature, said Jack.
Exactly, said Annie.
Okay, said Jack. But how will we know what kind of animal to look for?
A signal bell clanged. Lights appeared at the end of the tunnel. Jack and Annie moved with the crowd as it surged forward. The subway train rumbled down the tracks. On the side of the train, Jack saw a big number 2.
That's us, he said.
When the train stopped, everyone on the platform crammed inside. Jack and Annie were squashed into one of the first cars. All the seats were taken, so they had to stand in the aisle. They held on to a silver pole as more riders squeezed into the subway car and grabbed straps hanging overhead. Jack actually didn't mind the tight squeeze. He was anxious to thaw out from the cold.
Look, Jack, cried Annie.
She pointed out a window of the subway car. Jack peered out the window just in time to see 2 people rush across the platform toward one of the rear cars. One was dressed in a dark cape, the other in a tan raincoat. A bell sounded. The subway doors closed, and the train started down the tracks.
Yay, they're on the train, exclaimed Annie.
Cool, said Jack, grinning. We'll see them when we get off.
Hey, where do we get off? Said Annie.
Oh, man, we forgot to ask, said Jack.
He turned to the lady next to them.
Excuse me, where do we get off for the Bronx Zoo? He asked her.
Tremont Avenue, the woman said gruffly.
Where's that? Asked Annie.
There's a map, said the woman.
She pointed to a map on the wall above a row of seated passengers. Jack and Annie stared at all the colorful lines that showed the subway system.
Nothing here makes sense, said Jack.
Do you need help?
The girl sitting under the map said. She wore a tattered purple shawl over her head and shoulders.
Yes, please, said Annie. Can you tell us where we get off for the Bronx Zoo?
It's much further north, said the girl.
I'll let you know when we get to the right stop.
Thanks, said Jack.
The train bumped and creaked along, stopping every couple of minutes. Jack looked out the window and tried to read the name of each station, but sometimes the platforms were too crowded. He was glad the girl in the shawl had promised to help them. Just when Jack was starting to feel warm and a little drowsy, the girl called out,
"Your stop's next."
"Thanks a lot," said Annie.
She and Jack squeezed through the crowd toward the doors. When the train stopped and the doors opened, Jack and Annie were practically pushed out onto the platform with the other people leaving. The subway doors closed, and the train moved on.